It's all about time, time and practice. Like, there's nothing impossible for you. I have seen people who were like really, really bad at drawing. And drawing is it's a skill that people think like, even I have it or I don't have it. And I have seen people who were like really bad getting so good, like not even like, oh, he got better. No, he got good. Like he was like, whoa, your drawing is amazing. And it comes to what you said at the beginning, like, how much do you want it?
Welcome to Live with Bitcoin, where we delve into the human side of Bitcoin by focusing on Bitcoiners' personal transformations and life stories. I'm your host, Vivian. Thanks for tuning in. If you like and want to support our mission on shining light on the human side of Bitcoin, remember to subscribe to this channel, leave a comment, or send a few sats from the link in the description. Today, our guest is Flo Montoya, a Chilean Bitcoin-only artist. Since 2020, she delves into the essence of Bitcoin through various techniques, bringing a unique perspective to her craft, advocating for the power of beauty in conveying meaningful messages and rejecting fiat culture's minimal effort mindset. You may already know her as the face of Libby, the famous Love is Bitcoin magazine, and an advocate of clothing brand Panties for Bitcoin. Welcome, Flo.
Hi, thank you so much for having me.
Now you've been to so many places and I've seen a lot in different parts of the world. What do you think there was something specific about growing up in Chile or just living in Chile that is rather unique?
Even though we don't have like signature food, we have always had like very good materials. I don't know how to call it. Like you have like fish, you have like cows that grow eating grass that you eat. Like I think we have like very good food in general. I also love about my country that we have like all the landscapes you can imagine. Like we have the most dry desert. We have mountains where you can go skiing and you can go into the sea. You can do everything. We have like a very rainy places where you can like get lost into the woods. And I also love that very much.
What's your favorite Chilean dish?
It's called pastel de choclo, and it's made of corn. It's like you make like how is it called? Like you have to like smash the corn, like the bits, and make like a soft thing, and it goes into the oven. And sometimes with meat.
That sounds really nice. I like corns. What kind of creative work you do either in the Bitcoin space? And I think exclusively since 2022, you've been very focused on Bitcoin. So tell us more about your work.
I studied art in a classical academy for like 3 years. It was very focused on the developing of the techniques and understanding the materials and that. And then I went into the university and I studied arts there. So it had more of a modern focus. But I really liked that process, like seeing this whole landscape. I think I really think I learned a lot. I didn't enjoy university that much. When I was there, I was like, this is nonsense. But looking back now, I can take what I think has more value and apply it to my work. And I really like classical techniques. So I draw, I paint with oil. I like engraving. I'm learning since last year screen printing, and I love doing things with my hands. And I'm not very good with technology. I just knew about Bitcoin. I think it was like by chance. I'm not really good with like editing and computers and all of that stuff. So I'm very focused on doing things with my hands and like touching the materials. That's what I really enjoy.
Look through some of your paintings, and those are very extensive. And you can see there are tons of details that goes into it. And there's so much effort that just shines through. The proof of work just shines through the piece. What role do you think art in general plays in orange peeling the world?
There are two things. One, art is a manifestation of what we live, what we're going through. So through any changes in humanity, you will see a change in the culture, in the arts. It's the way like we have to like put it out somehow, and it's like it comes out in form of art. So I think it's inevitable. Like you will have Bitcoin art it's too big of a change to not have Bitcoin art. But then if you're aware of what you're doing, like, of course, when I started, I was just trying to understand Bitcoin and just doing it. Some years have passed since that. And now I think it's like I have a responsibility here. Like if I'm doing the images, I'm part of this decentralized group of people who are willing, like choose to make these images. I have to put more like into it. Even though I'm a very classical artist, I want to do some street art work because I have the fear that the art I do is otherwise only reaching the people who are already orange peeled. Because I follow a guy who is cyber street art, if I remember correctly. I loved what they're doing. I love their job. They're like putting so many images in the streets and it's amazing. And it's like, this is so inspiring. I have to do something like that. And if you really want to help people, like if you really believe in Bitcoin, you want people to know about it. And in my country, at least, it's not very known. Some people have heard about it. Some others have never even heard about Bitcoin or don't pay attention. So I kind of feel a responsibility there to help them maybe start wandering and find their way into this.
What's one way to create art and spread the message of Bitcoiners without shilling the Bitcoin sign? Because I see you do it. You don't do it like in their face. You don't just put a Bitcoin sign and stick it on the painting and somewhere. We need more subtle and emotionally appealing messages. So how do you approach this to make it symbolic yet impactful?
We Bitcoiners might be already a bit tired of the like the V, but for newcomers, it's like, what is this thing? So we still have to use it, I think. But it's really fun to go deeper. I really enjoy that, like making a piece that maybe it's about Bitcoin because it's about freedom, or it's about Bitcoin because it's about justice, you know? It's about Bitcoin because it speaks about all this other stuff that Bitcoin has already like embraced, or it's natural to Bitcoin. So I think the answer is think about the main thing. The main thing that Bitcoin is for you, or what is the main thing that Bitcoin is solving, or something like that. Like, what's the most important thing you can think of, and maybe talk about that. So I'm doing a piece right now about Julian Assange, and it's like for him. I did one for Ross Ulbricht, and these pieces are to create awareness, to do the image, and of course to be able to donate to them, so that you could say that's not Bitcoin art. Where is the Bitcoin B? Where is the Bitcoin theme? But if you are attacking freedom of speech, if you are attacking our freedom to choose how we transact with each other, Bitcoin is here to solve those things.
When I was listening to some of your other conversations in a space, I found out that you transitioned from a full-time social media job at a marketing agency to work in Bitcoin. And at the time, you didn't have any tangible opportunity lined up when you choose to quit. So I'm always very interested in the stories of people taking a leap of faith. So walk us through, like, what was the decision-making process like?
Well, I was really tired about my normie job. I was working so much for them, and it was like, why am I putting so much hours of my time to something that I'm not really that interested in? Like, I had to learn, it was a skincare company, so I had to learn, like, of course, how these products work and a lot of things that I was like, I have no interest in learning this besides like applying it to my face. I really don't care much about it. And I said, like, I could be using this time to learn more about Bitcoin. And besides that, the work was like taking so much time from me that I was too tired to do art. So for a while, I don't know how long, I couldn't work in any piece. And that was very, very frustrating. And I also had like some personal stuff going on in my world that everything changed from one day to another. And in that process, I decided like I have to work for something related with Bitcoin because I can't take this anymore. And I did. I quit it. I have a very, very supportive family, so they helped me out a lot. And it was like, I don't know, a month or something later that after I quit it, that I saw a post of George saying like, I don't want to work with normies. If you are a Bitcoiner and you need a job, like send me a DM. So I did. And he was like, I don't need an artist. Like, what can you do? And I told him like, I used to work in marketing and social media and stuff like that. And he was actually looking for someone for that position. And it was so fun. And he said, like, okay, you can come work with the Love is Bitcoin team, but I would need for you to be public because we need to give Libby a face and a voice. And it was very, like, kind of frightening at the beginning. I consider myself a bit more shy. Like, was like, this is, I'm not going to be able to do this. Now I'm speaking to you in English, but at the moment I was like, my English sucks. I cannot do this. And I was super self-conscious about all this stuff. And the team was very helpful into that process. They let me do it like very gradually. I started like posting a picture and then maybe a tiny video, maybe that more. And it has helped me so much to be more like, don't care and be more like loose in a way, and don't overthink so much. And yeah, that was like, and then through them, I knew Pablo from Panties for Bitcoin and started also working there.
For someone who were in your past position where they'd like to take that leap of faith, it's scary to lose the financial support and just ditch everything and start a new career wherever you are in your current career, right? So what do you think are essential for people to make that decision in general from both financial resources and the mindset perspective? Like, what do you need to know before you quit your fiat job and hope for the best?
Of course, it's smart to find a job first and then quit. But sometimes if you don't let go, you will never be able to find a new one. Like, you have to push yourself. You have to be in that position where, oh, I have to find something. And this need sometimes is the thing you that allows you to find it, actually. There's something I read the book Choose Life from Daniel Prince, and I remember in some chapter he said like, it's something that really helps you is to put yourself in the worst case scenario. Like, what's the worst case scenario? Yeah, you quit today, you don't find a job in a month, you have no money, what will happen? You will have to move to your parents, you will have to, I don't know, do this, do that. And when you put yourself into that position, like, you actually realize that your worst case scenario isn't that bad. Like, you probably have options. You maybe don't want to like go ahead and pick them, but it's not that terrible. Like, most of us, when you have like a supportive family or friends or things like that, your worst case scenario isn't that bad. So I really love that idea, like literally putting yourself into that position and seeing like, okay, this would happen, I would do this, and that helps you just take the jump, because if you realize that it's not the end of the world, you just do it. I started learning about Bitcoin around 2017. But I didn't get like very deep into it. The thing was at that moment we were living in our family home, and my dad actually found out about Bitcoin and was learning and studying it because he used to work, like he's been working for the same German company for like 25 years. So in this process of like bringing his salary home, he was very, very tired of banks. And he started using Bitcoin. And since that moment, we started learning. And I was studying arts. I didn't pay much attention. It was like they were... When you know when you're like first orange peeled and you're like talking about Bitcoin all day. So we used to have dinner every day together. So of course the conversation was very Bitcoinery at home, and everyone here is orange peeled. And now like my sister's husband and I don't know my brother's girlfriend, my boyfriend, like we are like the whole family super orange peeled. And I started like learning for myself, like not just listening to them in 2020 when I started doing the arts. So that was a moment I was like reading the books for myself and like putting the work, because before that it was like just listening to them and like learning through them. And it, of course it made the lectures much easier for me. Like, this is what they said. This is what they mentioned. Low time preference. I know that. It made it easier.
It's obviously very lucky to have a family of Bitcoiners, and you understand each other and know what you're in it for, and have Bitcoin, I guess, come up as a dinner conversation that doesn't end in fights. Do you think if you weren't leaving your fiat job for Bitcoin, or if your parents or your family aren't Bitcoiners, do you think they would have supported you the same way they had?
Well, they supported me studying art, so I think they would have. But if you need, like, there's nothing that needs more support than your child wanted to study arts in Latin America. It's like, you're crazy. Like, I was always told, like, you're gonna starve. Like, you, like, artists don't make it unless in Latin America. So that actually helped me, because I was always very good at saving. Like, I have always had side jobs, always. And
to prepare for the worst case scenario.
Yes. And it helped me, because when I started learning about Bitcoin, those things made sense for me, like saving and like low time preference and all those kind of things. I think those were already in our family culture.
It's good that you've made the transition from kind of listening to it and just getting into it through the family exposure, and then transition to the verifying mentality or the verifying phase of reading and learning for yourself. So since then, since your own journey in Bitcoin starts, what do you think are some of the most important things, like values or lessons or experience you learned from being a part of the Bitcoin community?
I see much more collaboration than I saw in the normie world, and willingness to to learn from each other maybe. And in the art space, I see that too. And in art space in normie land, it's like it's crazy. Like, people, you have to, like, I was used to people like trying to step into the other one to like be more important and bright, you know? And here I see the opposite. It's like, if you shine and you're amazing, go do it, girl. And then the other one is going to shine by themselves. And if I can give you a hand, I will give you a hand. And if we can do some project together, and or at least that has been my experience so far. I have never met a Bitcoiner who I thought would, was like, oh, that person is like trying to harm the other in a way, or like not sharing information. Like, I mean, so many artists group where people are like always sharing, hey guys, there is this conference, there is this thing, you can put your work here. And I think that's what I hope that culture of collaboration stays with us, because I know I really like this. It's kind of contradictory. So it's like, it's a collaboration that comes from individualism. So I love this idea that individualism is not bad. Like, caring for yourself doesn't mean I have to harm another person. And I think, yeah, that's something that I really love about this ecosystem.
In the fiat world, it's a little bit of a zero-sum game. It's if I get the position, you don't. And if I gain something, then I need to stop you from gaining something. So I increase the chance of me getting something. But in Bitcoin, it's like every single person we bring onto the ecosystem, all the Bitcoiners are going to benefit from. And it's a culture of you actually get rewarded by lifting other people up. There's so much proof of work because you don't have to worry. You don't have to be worried about other people getting ahead. You just need to focus on your craft. Let your own proof of work shine through. And then people are going to recognize that instead of having like limited space and fighting for resources and zero sum and I win, you lose type of scenario. The working culture in Bitcoin, how in Bitcoin, it's very much proof of work. It's like if you prove you can do this, the job is yours. Versus in fiat, oftentimes you need 2 years of experience for an entry-level job. Go into certain directions or getting promoted, you need X amount of year of experience. And if you don't have that, that's a deal breaker. But we all know that experience and learnings and skills and capability doesn't necessarily come through the time, right? Come naturally with age. So there's a whole cloud of bureaucracy in fiat world in the working culture that we deal with versus, I don't need an artist, but you're a social media person. Let's try. And then it takes off, right? So you just never know. So it's a very great place. It's a really great industry to get your hands dirty and start somewhere. And then if you keep at it long enough, like have to show up consistently and do your best job, let your proof of work shine through and be patient and consistent, then really incorporate that low time preference. It's going to take off in a way that I guess you wouldn't have imagined your life today with such deep integrations in the Bitcoin community, and on top of that, doing the art that you feel really close to and passionate about.
Yeah, it's like I get to live my obsessions every day. So yeah, I was just thinking when you were talking, my sister-in-law, she's a coder and she's working for an army company, and she just keeps seeing these people getting promotions, and she says like, this guy is like always doing very fast things. So the boss looks at it as if this guy was like working so much, but then she has to go behind him like fixing everything because he's just putting in like the image, but everything behind it is a mess. So she's doing the silent work that nobody's seeing that makes it like helps this thing be alive, and these people keep getting promotions, and it's like so frustrating. And I think you cannot do that in the Bitcoin ecosystem. Like I think there is more like of an ethic, like you wouldn't, like, again, you don't do something only like you don't harm someone else to like be on top and bigger. And also the boss is more focused on the proof of work. So he would be more examining what you actually did than like these superficial like outcomes.
And let's talk about the Love is Bitcoin initiative. I started off this podcast last June. Back then, the Love is Bitcoin brand was just getting started not long ago. I remember it was maybe had 2,000-ish followers when I got started with the podcast. And then the growth and expansion ever since has been really fun and impressive to witness. And we've been closely engaging with each other, which I really appreciate, and had a lot of fun reading your tweets, which a lot of them on a daily basis. So as the community manager and the face of Libby, what is the purpose of Love is Bitcoin?
Again, I get a lot of help in the posting. The team is amazing. And what we do is focused on marketing and advertisement. So, for example, if you wanted us, you can say like, hey, Flo, I want Love is Bitcoin to promote, for example, this podcast like every week. I want posts on every social media, and I want this and that. We cover the needs that you have, like each client has, and we make a package of that. And then you can say like, yeah, it depends on any, every business has different needs. And we focus on, of course, Bitcoiner brands of any kind, like the technological and wallets, but you can also find like clothes and anything. And it's also, well, that's like the business side of it. But we also love educating people, helping people to who is starting, like through memes, through fun, through these all these things to get into this space. And we also, of course, have the magazine side of it, this where any writer can send us anything, and we can post it. And then, of course, we always put the address of the writer so that if people enjoyed it, they can sub the author directly. Or sometimes we write ourselves. Of course, we do that too. And yeah, we just try to have a lot of fun in this space while reminding people about all these amazing companies that are in this Bitcoin world.
And obviously, you've joined the team long enough to really see it grow, and you've contributed majorly with all of the great content that the team produced altogether. What do you think are some success factor for the Love is Bitcoin community? I have my own theories, but I want to hear from you first.
I think that it's just, well, from one side, we're like very, very silly. Like we embrace silliness. We don't care. And if there's a meme out there, we'll play with it. And that's one side of this. We also, even though Livy has always been like a feminine character, we also play with very mainly humor. So we're trying to cover these both sides in again, a very, very silly way. And yeah, well, we post a lot. I think that's also, we actually get shadow banned like every couple of months. And it's really hard because we have to wait until Twitter forgives us.
Humor is definitely a major aspect of the success of the Love is Bitcoin brand. But there's something else to it. Like there's so many times I read your post and I was like, that was Bozy. Cause we have a lot of, let's face it, we have a lot of drama in Bitcoin. I don't have enough guts to make jokes, you know, like part of the reason I don't, like oftentimes I don't care about it enough to like engage in such conversations, but I'm like secretly entertained sometimes. But I wouldn't personally go there. And I enjoy memes, but I'm not a good producer of memes. Let's put it that way. And you add a tad of boziness and cheekiness on pretty much all of your posts. And you don't care who's been made fun of. In that sense, you're perfectly neutral, and you're just in your own sense. And everybody who gets in the dramatic circle, you're contributing your ideas to the community in the way that you're half joking and then half serious. And then you always come back to what's really relevant, which is Bitcoin, which is amazing. So I'm very impressed and with the approach and the guts the team have to actually carry out on a daily basis to the
extent I think, that you do. Yeah, it really helps that there's a team. So for example, if I'm like I don't know, self-conscious about something, like I don't even look at it, and then someone else posts and it really helps. So if you get like a community manager, she would do it because it's your face and she would be like super silly, and then it kind of works is better. But yeah, sometimes it's I don't know, I just laugh about it. And I well, the thing is, it's a character, and that also helps a lot. Like Livy, we're all Livy. You are Livy, I'm Livy.
Exactly.
So we can play a lot with that. And yeah, if people some people think that I'm really Libby. And at that moment, like, for example, in conferences, like, they meet me and like, oh, you're Libby. How are you posting? But you're posting right now and you're here. And like, there's a whole team behind this. Like, Libby is a character. And then I get a bit, I also get a bit like self-conscious about it, like a bit ashamed, because I'm like trying to think about all the posts and in my head, like everything that we have posted, like, and you're like facing the person in real life. It's a bit weird, but also very fun. And I just explained to them, like, there's a team, Liv is a character. And yeah, we try to have fun with this. But yeah, I really love, well, this job has helped me so much to actually, like, lose this fear and just, yeah, enjoy it and have fun and don't care so much. And it really helps me as an artist, because sometimes I want to show my art, I want to talk about it, but then you start like overthinking it and you don't do it. And in my personal account, if you ever go there, like, I don't post any memes, I don't do any of the fun stuff.
And I see how you show your face, documenting everything, posting pictures of yourself, videos, traveling to conferences. You look all natural and comfortable. And but personally, it seems like you overcame the going public hurdle. And it's been a process. So how did you land on the decision that this is what you're going to do?
I'm very impulsive. So I said, like, I think this is going to be good. Let's do it. And then I was like, oh my God, what am I doing? Hell. But it, no. And I remember like talking like to people here, like, what do you think about this thing? I'm about to become a meme. Is this going to be good? And they were like, if it helps you in your career as an artist, like, being an artist is like, well, I feel like it's so hard right now. And I know some people are like very brilliant and they like maybe overcome this other ways. Like, I'm not saying that everyone has to go public or everyone has to do it this way. But for me, it was like, I feel this is a mountain I cannot climb alone. And when I found Love is Bitcoin, I really thought like this is something that could help me make it a bit easier, because I need these skills. I feel like I'm not anonymous already, so I was already kind of public, and in the sense that I wasn't like, it was my actual picture and all of that was my actual name. And I said, like, I want to travel and I want to go to conferences. How do I make this happen?
Yeah, exactly. And then we're coming back to the leap of faith, because I've talked to people and then they wanted to start a podcast or start making content. And then they said, but I'm not I'm a shy person. I get camera shy. I do this, this, and this. I'm not suitable for the role. But, and then what I said is, do you want this enough? If you want this enough, just get over it and start working on it. And those, you know, camera shy, those are all true, but those can be changed. And the more you like latch onto these as excuses, they're going to slow you down. So just think about one question. Do you want what you want enough? If you want it enough, you find a way. And one person who heard that, we only talked once, and then he's been creating content constantly ever since. And I'm honestly so impressed of, you know, just it took one conversation. Do you have some practical tips on how can you get more comfortable in public eyes? And you're a particular great person to ask this, because now you're not only posting pictures and videos and you're the face of memes. So it's another comfort level that I'm even not comfortable with.
It's all about time and practice. Like, there's nothing impossible for you. Like, that's something that I've been experiencing my whole life. I have seen people who were like really, really bad at drawing. And drawing it's a skill that people think like, even I have it or I don't have it. So people say, I don't draw, I don't know how to draw, or I draw. And I have seen people who were like really bad getting so good, like not even like, oh, he got better. No, he got good. Like, he was like, whoa, your drawing is amazing. And I have seen that, well, in the art space, in those kind of skills. And that got me thinking, like, it's only a matter of time and practice. So again, it comes to what you said at the beginning, like, how much do you want it? Then start practicing and baby steps. Like you won't, I didn't get comfortable doing videos at the first day. I remember like the first pictures I took, I edited so much. Like I put them so many filters so that people like, I didn't want to be recognizable, or I would be like in my bag so that like I had like a logo here and not showing my face that much. And yeah, and also make it comfortable for yourself. So for example, I don't like to, like in my character, I try to use makeup because it gives me confidence. So when I have to do a photo shoot, I plan ahead to have time to apply makeup because if I'm feeling more comfortable, I know I will do a better job and then I will feel better about it. So yeah. Try to learn like what makes you feel more comfortable.
Create an environment where you can thrive, where thriving is easy. Because sometimes we talk about, oh, you as individuals, you need to be more resilient, or you as individuals, you need to be more hardworking, or this or that. But the reason why you're suffering, it's not because of you, it's because of the environment. And this is what we talk about repeatedly and make comparisons between the fiat system and the Bitcoin standard. It's not you, there's nothing wrong with you. Like, don't think there's something wrong with you, but maybe it's the system, maybe it's the environment. And we are all, as humans, the product of our environment. And the right path should feel easy. If you walk on the right path, it shouldn't feel difficult. So this is another application in making ourselves more comfortable in public eyes, is to create an environment and be around people who understand, who are more likely to understand us than to scrutinize us. And it requires us to find the community, find like-minded people, create environment that we feel comfortable sharing and contributing. And yeah, like you said, there's no skills that are, I would say very few skills that are not trainable over time with dedication, consistency, and effort. And that includes social media. Social media is one of the, I guess, hard beast to crack. It's very, very hard. I've been in that shoes. It's very, very hard to hire a great social media manager for our community. What are some of your rule of thumbs to engage with and grow your audience, either as an individual or a business or a community?
Yeah, I would say be the more real you can be. People see through it, even though we have all seen this Instagram, like influencers with tons of followers. But people actually do know that they are fake. Like, they don't follow them because they are real. They follow the fantasy. But I think it's easier and faster to just do you and pay attention. Like, pay attention to what people is saying. Like, for example, be very aware of the comments. Like, comments is the most important, I think one of the most important things on any social media. Like, if you're getting comments, do answer them and comment back and pay attention to what they're saying. Like, if you ask a question and you got a mean answer, don't just get upset. Like, try to figure, why is this person in my feed and why is he saying this? And also, don't take it personally. Do use the raise button. Play with memes always, especially in the Bitcoin ecosystem. Play with them. Like, you will start, and of course, everyone has, like, I'm still learning about it. Like, everyone is, like, and your first memes will suck. Doesn't matter. Send them to your family.
It's really lovely to see how yourself and Love is Bitcoin has grown so much. And over the past year, we're kind of a little bit of like a buddy in that sense. I came around a little bit later than the Love is Bitcoin brand, and also received quite some support from the team, and thanks a lot for the unwavering support. I really appreciate all of you.
But we try to see, like, if something is relevant, because we like your content, we know our followers will like it too. I think the feeling that we had with your account, it was like, this is a perfect match. Like, of course, Viv and Libby will be friends.
Of course. And now, would you teach me how to say fix the money, fix the world in Spanish? I don't think I've had a Spanish-speaking guest to teach me this yet.
Arregla el dinero, arregla el mundo.
Okay, so arregla el dinero, arregla el mundo.
Yeah.
Okay. Give me a pass. Thank you for taking the time to do this. It's great to find some time to sit down and chat properly. And I enjoyed meeting you in person in Madeira, and we'll be meeting each other very soon at other parts of the world going forward. So looking forward to seeing your art and seeing the Love is Bitcoin brand and Panties for Bitcoin in all of these different places.
Thank you so much for the invitation and for having me here. It's been super fun talking to you. And for the Love is Bitcoin community, so go check out our page, because we have so many amazing places where you can use our coupon code Love is Bitcoin to get discounts and to get amazing products from Bitcoiners to Bitcoiners. And that's why we do this. So yeah.
Great. Like, definitely check out Love is Bitcoin brand. They do a lot of amazing things, and chances are you're already following them. It's focusing not only on the human side of Bitcoin, but also on the humor side of Bitcoin that are just relevant and bring a dash of positivity and laughter into our day. Thank you for tuning in to another episode of Live with Bitcoin. I'm your host, Vivian, and we'll see you in the next episode.